Good evening. My name is Rabbi Yosef Sonnenschein, and I am delighted to have the opportunity to speak tonight for Torah Talks and to be able to share some ideas about Yom Kippur and the very special time of year that we find ourselves in. I teach the whole year in Landers College for Men, and I am truly grateful to the team at Turo that has put these talks together and has given me the opportunity to reach outside of my regular boundaries of my regular places that to speak and to teach and to learn and to be able to reach beyond that to teach before Yom Kippur. You know, when COVID-19 began and spread throughout the world, a lot of our regular forums for learning, for teaching, for connecting were taken from us. A lot of Torah study was frustrated. And being the resourceful people that we are, we managed to take advantage of other mediums and the technology that's available to us. And all over the world, this whole new venue of learning Torah over a computer and reaching out to people has, in a certain sense, has brought people together in a way that we perhaps would not have been together. We would not have had the opportunity to learn together without coronavirus. It's ironic, it's interesting, it's inspiring that the difficulties that we've encountered have also sparked new areas in our ability to connect with each other and to remain unified. So I'm really, really excited for this opportunity. Obviously, this forum of learning and teaching has its advantages and its disadvantages. It's unbelievable that there are no borders and no boundaries, and people can learn together from anywhere in the world. On the other hand, our ability to connect with the crowd is somewhat hampered when it's over the computer. But I hope that the benefits will outweigh the drawbacks and that we will find a way to connect and to bridge the gaps between us and to be able to learn together a very, very important idea about Yom Kippur. One of the avodas that were done in the Beis HaMikdash was the ketores. The ketores, the incense, was something that was done daily, twice daily, in fact, that a certain mixture of spices, of herbs, were mixed together and then burned on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us that the ketores was very powerful. It had the ability, the Gemara says, Erchin Daf Te Zayin. The Gemara says that it had the ability to atone for the very serious Avera of Lashon Hara. By this constant bringing the ketores protected the Jewish people from the bad effects of the sin of Lashon Hara. The Gemara describes it interestingly. The Gemara says, let something that's quiet come and atone for something that's quiet. Something that's quiet, Rashi explains, a service in the Beis HaMikdash that's done deep in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash proper, not in the courtyard, not outside, not visible to the crowds. It's done on the inner Mizbeach, on the inner altar. It's a silent service, and it atones for that which is done in secret. The stories, unfortunately, that we share about each other in secret, the comments that we make, unfortunately, sometimes behind each other's backs. So that's a davar shebichashoi, the Gemara calls it, something that's silent, something that's not loudly heard, not the source of which is sometimes hard to even track down. Now, it's interesting that the Ketores was done, as I mentioned, every day, but there was a form of Ketores that was special and unique to Yom Kippur. And that was the Ketores that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, that he would bring this the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Holy of Holies, and there he would do the service of the Ketores that one time a year that he Kodesh HaKadoshim. Imagine that. This was a Avodah that was done once the entire year by one specific man at one specific moment of the year. It was a very, very special and intimate Avodah. And some say that it was specifically that Ketores that atoned for Lashon Hara. That it wasn't just the regular daily Ketores that atoned for the sin of Lashon Hara, but it was specifically the Ketores that was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. Now that brings a new appreciation of the idea that it's something that's quiet. Boy, is that quiet. That was something that wasn't just done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was done in the most, in the inner sanctum, in the holiest spot, in the place that the rest of the year a human being wouldn't dare enter. And you have to wonder, and the Chafetz Chaim really expresses this wonderment. The Kohen Gadol is walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to beg Hashem to forgive his people, to beg Hashem, to plead with him, to grant the Jewish people another year of life, of prosperity, of joy. There's so much to say at that moment. There's so much, I'm sure, that the Kohen Gadol would want to share at that moment, so much to atone for. And yet from the full gamut of things that the Kohen Gadol would want to ask Hashem, please Hashem, and forgive us for the sin of, he chooses specifically Lashon Hara. He chooses the service of the Ketores, which atones for Lashon Hara. This tells us that there's some connection, there's some inner connection between the idea of what we're trying to accomplish on Yom Kippur, between the sin of Lashon Hara and the service of the Ketores. I want to try to discuss that in the order of discussing the sin of Lashon Hara, the Ketores, and then to return in the end to Yom Kippur. And I hope that by discussing this fascinating piece of the Yom Kippur service, this Ketores that was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we can pull out of that something that we can take into our Yom Kippur service. Because learning the ideas of Yom Kippur takes on a whole new meaning when it's something that we can bring to life and implement practically in our lives. So let's begin with Lashon Hara. Let's move on to discuss the Ketores, and then we'll head back to talk about Yom Kippur and hopefully bring all three ideas together into one edifice, one idea. And the discussion of Lashon Hara really begins with a fascinating incident and a fascinating Rashi. Rashi tells us that for the 40 years that the Jewish people spent in the Midbar, in the desert, waiting to enter Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanim, the nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, that were expecting this invasion of the Jewish people, they were busy for those 40 years. They weren't sitting twiddling their thumbs. And during the 40 years that the Jewish people wandered in the Midbar, the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael spent the time making holes in the walls of their homes and hiding treasures behind the walls in the hope that if there's a war, that the Jewish people wouldn't find their treasures. So for 40 years, they took their gold and their silver, their precious stones, their jewelry, and they dug holes in their walls, and they patched them over and tried to make it invisible, and there were treasures, matmonios, that were hidden behind the walls in the homes in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi tells us that when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they discovered those treasures. How? Because there's an affliction called tzaras, that we know there's this affliction called tzaras can infect a person's body, it can infect a person's clothing, and it can also infect a person's home. There's a tzaras that can grow on a person's home. And the halacha of tzaras is that when the kohen says so, the tzaras needs to be removed from the home. So you can imagine that the owner of the home that discovered tzaras on the wall of his home would take a pick and a hammer, and he would hammer away at the plaster or the cement until that part of the wall came tumbling down. And lo and behold, he would find behind the wall the treasures that the Canaanim, that the former inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, had hidden there. And this is an astonishing little piece of history. Because if you think about it, it's so incongruent. It doesn't seem to follow. Tzaras, we know that tzaras is a punishment. Tzaras is something that Hashem sends us as a punishment for speaking badly of each other, of speaking Lashon Hara. Why would it be that the way that Hashem chooses to share treasures with us, to give us those treasures, is through a punishment for the sin of Lashon Hara? I once heard an answer to this question that's fascinating and enlightening. You know, sometimes the truth can also be a lie. Let me explain what I mean by that. I think always when I speak about this topic, I think about a certain incident that happened when I was much younger and my wife and I were living in Eretz Yisrael. So we were there alone. We did not have relatives on either side of the family. We were literally there alone. And Hanukkah came, and of course, it's not easy to spend Hanukkah in a different country. I wouldn't call it a foreign country, it's our country, but it's a different country than we're comfortable in. And we were completely alone. So my mother-in-law decided to send us a Hanukkah present. And the Hanukkah present that she sent us was my sister-in-law. She sent my wife's sister to join us for Hanukkah. That was, of course, with a suitcase full of whatever goodies we missed from the United States. And she surprised us. We were completely shocked. But here's how it unfolded. My wife was out that night, and I was home alone. There was a knock at the door. My sister-in-law was there. It was very surprising to see her. And she told me she wanted to surprise my wife. And I knew that my wife was expected home in a few minutes. So my sister-in-law hid in the bedroom and waited. And when my wife came in, I said to her, "Your mother sent a Hanukkah present for you. It's in the bedroom." My wife walked into the bedroom. And at that moment, I had somebody standing there with a camera. And at that moment that my wife walked into the room and saw her sister, we snapped a picture. And we have a copy of that picture of the shock mixed with pleasure on my wife's face when she saw her sister. the picture is a picture of my wife. However, it's not really a picture of her, because the expression on her face is one of such shock and delight mixed together that in the 25 years that I know her, I've almost never seen that expression again. And when I look at the picture, I have to ask myself, is that really her? Because sometimes something that's true is true, but it's also not true. It's true that that's her, but it's not true that that's her. Let me explain why I'm sharing this story with you. When we speak Lashon Hara about another Jew, and Lashon Hara could be something that's true. So I'm saying something about a friend or a relative that's negative, and it's true. Yes, it's true, but is it really true? Meaning, does that piece of Lashon Hara, does that juicy bit of news, does that really define the person? Because we know that every Jew is precious beyond words, that every single Yid has qualities and a depth and a power to his neshama that's astonishing. And to define a person based on his external faults, yes, maybe we're saying something true, but is it really true? Does it really define? Do my weakest moments define me? Do my most vulnerable actions define me? Certainly not. Certainly we're defined by what resides deeply within us, and the goals and the dreams and the yearning that we all have to grow and to be better people. And this was the message. Hashem wanted the Jewish people to understand that Lashon Hara is really just an external growth that's hiding a treasure inside. When I speak about someone negatively, I'm really just describing an external, something that looks ugly on the outside. But it's not really true, because that's not really who the person is. The person really is the precious that are on the inside, the precious treasures that are on the inside. And that's why Hashem brought it about, that the Jewish people would find the treasures as they were atoning for the sin of Lashon Hara through the vehicle of Tzaras, which is an atonement, a punishment for the sin of Lashon Hara. So this teaches us something about Lashon Hara, and it gives us a sense, by the way, of the seriousness of Lashon Hara. You know, as a nation, we've learned, when you learn Torah, when you learn what the Chafetz Chaim writes, we know that Lashon Hara is a serious sin. But in the broader society that we live in, saying things about other people is not considered one of the greatest sins that a person can do. In fact, there are large chunks of our culture that are built on it. We now understand that when I speak about somebody else negatively, I'm not simply saying something that's either a lie or the truth and I shouldn't say it. I'm really misrepresenting the person. I'm taking a shining, beautiful person and I am misrepresenting that person by sharing a negative incident or a negative story about them. So this is the concept of Lashon Hara that I wanted to share with you tonight. And now let's move on to understand the service of the Ketores. We've learned, Chazal teach us, an unbelievable fact about the Ketores. The Ketores, as we know, was a very beautifully smelling incense. incense. and certainly the ingredients mixed together to form a beautiful combination of aromas that was a Kiddush Hashem, that was a beautiful service to Hashem. But Chazal tell us that one of the spices that were in the Keteiros was called the Chelbana. And the Chelbana, Chazal tell us, was a very foul-smelling herb. It did not smell good at all. But when it was mixed together with the other herbs, it too contributed something positive to the smell of the Keteiros. That's what Chazal tell us about the Chelbana. And Chazal make the connection for us. Chazal tell us that this Chelbana represents people in our nation that are not tzaddikim, that are perhaps rishayim, wicked, evil, people that have fallen prey to the Yetzer Hara. And the Chelbana represents that not as beautifully smelling part of Klal Yisrael. And the message of the Keteiros is that those people also belong together with Klal Yisrael. But the truth is that the message is not that the sinners of Klal Yisrael could be diluted and that we won't notice the bad smell of the Chelbana because we have so many other herbs that smell nicely. That is not the message of the Keteiros. The Sfarim tell us, specifically the Mabit in his Sefer Beis Elokim, the Sfarim tell us that the Chelbana, when it was in the environment of the other herbs, it's not that the smell of the Chelbana was drowned out. It's that the Chelbana actually contributed and smelled beautiful when it was combined with those herbs. And we see from there something incredible. We see a similar idea to the idea we were discussing when we spoke about Lashon Hara. We see that although externally, and perhaps in the environment he may be in today, any person who's not following what Hashem wants him to do, who's not fulfilling his mission in life, may be considered like that foul-smelling herb. But if there was a way to put him in the right environment, if there was a way for that person to open up to the world of Torah and the world of mitzvahs, then that person himself or herself would produce a beautiful song, a beautiful contribution to the Avodas Hashem of Klal Yisrael. So it's a mistake to think that there are people that are helpful in the mission of our nation and people that are unhelpful. That's a mistake. The reality is that everyone has something to contribute. And sometimes there are external things that hold a person back. And that's why when it's not in the correct environment, when the right things are not done around that person and in the journey of that person's life, won't come out smelling as beautifully as it can really smell. But the true essence of the Chelbana, the true potential of the Chelbana, is as beautiful as any of the other herbs. No wonder the Keteiros atones for Lashon Hara. No wonder. Because the Keteiros represents the beauty of every single Jew. Whether the person seems on the surface to be contributing positively, or the person seems on the surface not to be, the Keteiros tells us there's a place for everyone in the family of the Jewish people. And not just that there's a place for everyone, but there's a necessity for everyone. And everyone has something vital to contribute. So if the Jewish people speak negatively about each other, chas v'shalom, what does that mean? That means that they're failing to see the true beauty that's lying behind the wall. They're failing to see that those matmonios, that gold and silver and precious stones, the treasures of that personality. The Keteiros reminds us that each and every person has a place in the world of Torah and in the world of Hashem. So the Ketores atones for Lashon Hara. Now let's move on to Yom Kippur. You know, there's an opinion in the Gemara that Yom Kippur has the ability to atone for our sins even without tshuva, without repentance. How incredible is that? According to some opinions, just the fact that I am alive on Yom Kippur, the words of the Gemara are Itzumai shel yom is mechaper. The essence of the day atones. You have to ask yourself, what kind of tshuva is that? What kind of kapara is that? What takes place on Yom Kippur that allows me to be cleansed of my sins without me even doing anything? Of course, we do plenty on Yom Kippur and we work hard, but just to understand what the meaning of such an opinion would be. Let me ask you a different question. Kol Nidre begins. We're all standing in shul. And the Chazan reads a pasuk. And the pasuk is not just a pasuk, but it's a plea. And he says, V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, v'lager hagor b'seicham. Hashem, please forgive the entire Jewish nation. And then we say why. We say, Ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga. Because the entire nation only sinned by mistake. They were a shaygeg. It was a mistake. Are we being honest when we say that on the night of Kol Nidre? Is that really the case? Is our position that every single sin that's done by any Jew, or perhaps I should speak only about myself, but is my position that any sin that I've done every time was just a mistake? I did nothing with intention. I did nothing on purpose. I'm not sure that that's the most honest way to begin the day of Yom Kippur. What do we mean when we start the day saying, Ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga, the whole nation just made a mistake? I wish that were the case, but is that one last question about Yom Kippur? The truth is that this extends to the whole year. We say in Shmoneh Esrei, in davening, three times a day, these words. We ask Hashem, V'tzadikenu b'mishpat. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we expand on that idea. But we ask Hashem, V'tzadikenu b'mishpat. I stand in front of Hashem. I address Hashem. And I say, Hashem, please render the decision that I am innocent in judgment. V'tzadikenu, declare that I am a tzaddik b'mishpat. Could you imagine doing that to a judge? We stand in front of a judge and the judge has to decide if we're guilty or innocent. So we tell the judge, please say we're innocent. The judge would of course respond by saying, I'll say you're innocent if you're innocent. And if you're not innocent, then I can't say you're innocent. What kind of bizarre request is that? To ask Hashem to say that we're innocent? V'tzadkenu b'mishpat? Just make us a tzaddik. Are we a tzaddik or not? It doesn't seem honest. What kind of a request is that? The answer is that we are complex people. The answer is that there are different layers of our willingness to do some of the things that we do. You know, sometimes I'll do something, even a mitzvah, I'll do a mitzvah, I'll go to shul, I'll daven, but part of me doesn't want to go. I could be a little obnoxious, so maybe I win the fight that's going on inside me, but there could be elements within me that don't want to do that mitzvah. Sometimes the other way is true, that when I'm involved in something perhaps that I shouldn't be involved in, I could feel the tug of parts of me that don't feel comfortable with that. The Sfarim tell us that every single Jew, at the core of his being, at the essence of her being, has an intense desire to serve Hashem. Va'ani kirvas aleikim li toiv, as David HaMelech says. For me, the only goodness is serving Hashem. When we do an Aveira, even if we think we want to do the Aveira, even when we're so swept up in the distractions of life that we get swept up and we do something that we should not have done, and we feel completely involved in doing that negative action, Chazal tell us, and the Sfarim tell us, that our neshama only went along kicking and screaming. Our neshama was never maskim, it never agreed, and it didn't want to do it. Our neshama is like your 16-year-old son that says, I don't really want to go, and you say, get in the car, you're coming along anyway. That's where our neshama is when we do the wrong thing. Our neshama does not want to participate in not serving Hashem properly. The problem is that we're not always in touch with that part of our neshama. So when we serve Hashem on Yom Kippur, we have a job to do. The job that we have to do is to identify the reality within me that wants to serve Hashem, is to hear the whisper within me that says, Hashem, I just want to serve you. Hashem, I want to accomplish in this world what I came to accomplish. Hashem, I understand that the only true joy and satisfaction is the life of serving you properly. On Yom Kippur, we try to hear that voice within ourselves, to hear our yearning for Hashem. And once we can identify a part of ourselves, a layer within ourselves, a desire within ourselves to be close to Hashem, we say, Hashem, please judge me from the vantage point of this part of my essence. Please don't judge me based on my distracted self of the rest of the year. That's not really me. That's not what I truly want. And that's not who I truly am. V'tzadikeinu b'mishpat. Hashem, declare that I'm a tzaddik. You know why? Because I truly am a tzaddik. It's true, I didn't act that way. But I could now identify and sense and feel and touch a part of my soul that does not want to be distanced from you, Hashem. And it's from that vantage point that I approach you. It's from that reality that I approach you. And it's from there that I ask, V'tzadkenu b'mishpat. And that's how we start Kol Nidre as well. When we begin Kol Nidre, the Chazan makes an announcement. What an announcement it is. The Chazan says, Ki lechol ha'om b'shgaga, Hashem, we didn't mean it. We thought we meant it, but we didn't mean it. It was a mistake. Our true selves, our real essence, the powerful neshama that resides within us, never wanted to do an aveira. It did not do it willingly. It was a shaygeg. It was a mistake. And it is true. It's 100% true, and it's true about every Jew, because that precious neshama that wants to serve Hashem lives within every single one of us. Perhaps that's why Kol Nidre begins by saying that we allow the sinners to pray with us. Anu matirim lehispalel im ha'avaryanim. Because on Yom Kippur, there are no sinners. On Yom Kippur, we recognize the chelek, the essence, the madrega, the element in every Jew that's just attached, that's cleaving to Hashem. Now we can understand what's going on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the moment that the entire Jewish people is waiting for. There are crowds outside the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone is holding their breaths. They're waiting for this part of the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol goes in and he begs Hashem, Kaperna, please forgive Klal Yisrael. But Hashem may say to the Kohen Gadol, figuratively, they've done averus. They've made mistakes. They didn't listen to me. How can I forgive them? So the Kohen Gadol would answer, Hashem, look at who they really are. Look at their essence. Look at who they really are. But Hashem would be correct in responding, I can look at who they really are, but do they look at who they really are? How are they looking at each other? If somebody will look at his friend and only see the negative outside, can they then expect me to see the beautiful inside? You have to do something to atone for the sin of Lashon Hara. The sin of Lashon Hara will block the entire Yom Kippur, because the essence of Yom Kippur is saying, I know who you really are. I know that you really are a servant of Hashem. But if when you look at others, you don't see who they really are, you can lose the opportunity for Hashem to look at you that way. So the Kohen Gadol takes the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with him. He takes the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Think about where he is. He's in the place in the Beis HaMikdash that corresponds to the place in man that he's speaking to Hashem about. He's in the inner holy of holies of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's telling Hashem, every Jew has a Kodesh HaKadoshim. Perhaps externally the Jew hasn't served you properly, but there's a Lefnai V'Lefnim, a Kodesh HaKadoshim, a Holy of Holies inside every Jew. And every one of them wants to serve you. And Hashem, please forgive the sin of Lashon Hara so that we will look at each other and see the treasures that truly live inside of us, of each other. And in that way, we'll be zeicha, we'll merit that Hashem will look at us that way. So this is the recipe for Yom Kippur. The recipe for Yom Kippur is, I'm going to walk in front of Hashem on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to ask him not to look at the ugly outside, but to look at the beautiful inside. And in order for me to make that request, I'm going to need to be that kind of person who looks at people that way. And that's why such an important part of Yom Kippur is making up with friends, is making sure that there's no separation between family members and friends. And it's such an important part of Yom Kippur that we look positively and optimistically at every single person in our lives. You know, we're very good at finding people's faults and noticing people's vulnerabilities. It's easy. But what truly makes us great is when we can live with the knowledge that those faults do not define the person. And sometimes we walk around with grudges and pain and hurt that we can carry for years about what people have done to us or what we perceive that they've done to us. And my purpose now is certainly not to make light of the pain that people have been through. And some people have been through legitimate and real pain at the hands of others. But part of the job of Yom Kippur is to realize that that person that caused me pain is vulnerable as well. That's not who he really is. That's not who she really is. Underneath the layers that may have caused me grief is a beautiful Yid that wants to serve Hashem, that feels pain if he or she fell short of that. And that's our desire as we go into Yom Kippur and our tefillah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tzadkenu b'mishpat, Hashem should look at the righteousness that lives with inside of us as we try to look at the righteousness that lives within all the people around us. And we notice the beauty of every single person. You know, I'm reminded of an incident that happened to me a number of years ago. Occasionally, I'm asked to officiate at a funeral of people that passed away. I live in Waterbury, Connecticut, and I'm the Rav here. And I would officiate at funerals of people that I don't know very well, people that haven't visited the shul. And that means giving a hesped, a eulogy, and saying nice things about someone who I've never met. So I got into the habit over the years of spending time with the family members to try to identify the beauty that lies within, to try to identify, because there is no Jew that you can't find a treasure inside. And one time I remember struggling with this. There was someone passed away, and he had a few daughters, and they came into my office and they started talking about their father. And even though they were so sad that their father passed away, they began to almost to laugh and to joke as they remembered all of their father's practical jokes. It seems that their father was a very, very funny guy. And they were talking about, I remember by this birthday party and this wedding, and they were just talking about his jokes. And I have to give a eulogy, a serious eulogy in a few minutes. So I was trying to fish around for other bits of information. So I was like, did he go to the synagogue? They're like, yeah, not really, but boy, was he funny. And then I would ask again, you know, did he contribute to Jewish causes? You know, we're not really sure, but boy, was he funny. And I stood up there by the funeral, wondering to myself, where is the treasure? And then it hit me. And what I said by the funeral was that when three daughters can sit around the table and share only precious, treasured memories of their father, that shows the type of father that he was. But my point is that with a little bit of thought and a little bit of contemplation and thoughtfulness, we can discover beauty in all of our friends and our family members and our neighbors. And we will be shocked sometimes at the greatness that's living right in front of us, because every Jew is great. And Hashem should give us the bracha of allowing us to uncover the treasures that are underneath the behind the wall. Hashem should allow us, if we can come away from this time of year with the bracha, that Hashem opens our eyes to the true beauty, the true preciousness, the true greatness of all the people in our lives, we will truly have a beautiful and blessed year. Thank you so, so much for joining me tonight. And thank you to everyone who helped to arrange this.